Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
So I want to get into the word of the Lord out of 2 Chronicles chapter 2. And the setting, before I give you the verse and what I want to talk about, is Solomon is going to build the house of the Lord. His father David has helped him prepare ahead of time with certain materials. And then the Lord raises up a man of great wisdom, Hiram, who is going to help him construct this second to none incomparable edifice for which the name of the Lord will be known in the whole earth. And so in the setting of the materials being described, of what's going to be brought in, what is going to be collected and put to use for the building and for this great endeavor. And there's a verse in 2 Chronicles 2:16 where Hiram is telling Solomon, this is a particular place that we're going to get some of the material. And so 2 Chronicles 2:16 says, "And we will cut wood out of Lebanon as much as thou shalt need. And we will bring it to thee in floats by sea to Joppa, and thou shalt carry it up to Jerusalem." And so I want to derive from, pull from this text, what I feel is a timely word and inspiration for somebody virtually watching this tonight. And that's simply wood out of Lebanon. I want to talk to you about wood out of Lebanon. Now, you think about this for a moment. Lebanon was not in the promised land. It was in the vicinity, in close proximity. There were many enemies throughout time that came from this location that Israel would have to tame in battle, that Israel would have to resist when they would want to bring in their idolatrous concepts, their false gods, when they would want to come in and oppress the land. So this was an area that was often under the control, especially of the righteous kings of Israel. And at this particular time, Solomon has rule over this particular region. And so Hiram is telling him, we're going to get you wood. This is a place of incomparable wood. And we're going to go there, and we're going to cut down this wood, and we're going to transfer it back to the promised land, specifically to the Jerusalem area here on the mountain. And we're going to build this incredible temple to the Lord. And I found inspiration from this because I think that there are several things to be learned from this. First of all, it's what we gain from the world that's eventually going to be transferred to the house of God. My friend, the past that you endured, the environment that you came out of, the sins that you were washed from, the things that you endeavored to accomplish as a carnal man, as a worldly person, those things, even though they were washed away, there are some things that God brings out of your experience in the world to use as a testimony in the kingdom of God. I think about many of you that have been transformed, maybe from the drug world, maybe from alcoholism, maybe from certain greed and a certain avarice for money, or for popularity, maybe a certain realm of prestige, maybe a certain realm of control as it came to family or friends or your personal ambitions. And so all of these things are things that the Lord maybe brought us out of. And as you have watched the Lord do a work of deliverance for you in your discipleship to the Lord, you're being used of God to sometimes go back and testify to other people that you were associated with in that world to bring them out of darkness, to lead those captives out of the prisons of sin and iniquity and transgression. And so we gain things from the world that are going to be transferred to the house of God. So think of it again. They're going to Lebanon. They're going to cut down these forested areas. They're going to bring that wood back on floats. They're going to transfer it. They're going to get it to Jerusalem. And they're going to use this lumber from another land to build the house of God in the promised land. My friend, I'm telling you that there are places that get cut down in the world. Dream forests, ambition trees, if you will, desire lands of hopes and wishes for prosperity. They get cut down, and we see growth in something that we wanted in the world. Maybe we wanted money. Maybe we wanted fame, respect. You wanted purpose. You wanted to be appreciated. Maybe you wanted control, and you wanted a lot of people to look up to you, and maybe in some ways these things were manipulated, but it gets cut down. And all of a sudden now, we feel severed from the significance in the world. And the world has a way of making us feel insignificant, small, minimized, useless, rejected, refuse, junk to be just discarded, just to go out and feel some landfill because you don't have anything else left to give the world. And so we can even feel rejected by those we've trusted in the world. We can feel angry about things we invested so much energy in just to see them cut down. And so you can sometimes even hear the enemy say, "Timber!" And the confidence comes crashing to the ground. The well-forested lands of possibility are suddenly stripped and barren and lost. But wait. It's not over. That's not the end of the story, because the author and the finisher of your faith has another purpose for this. Even though it was cut down in Lebanon, it's going to be used in the promised land. It's cut down in the world, but transformed and used by God in his word, for his plan, for his kingdom, for his causes. What was failure in your past will be materials that God can use for his house, for his kingdom, for his purpose. And you ought to be encouraged by that today, because it's not all lost. And there are things that you need to understand that were lost in a dark place that end up being found used in a place of light. They're useful now in the kingdom of God. There are memories that haunt you now that can actually become a part of God's redemption plan. Why? Because he takes the hurt and he cuts it down and he reshapes it, and now he fits it into the house of God. Isn't that what Ephesians 2 teaches us? He took us out of the world. He took us out of the alienation that sin caused us to have, to be. The middle wall of partition was broken down between the Gentiles and the Jews. We were made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're built on a foundation. And then what? We're fitly framed together for a building of God, for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And so that's what he does. He takes these things that are cut down in one area of your life, and he processes them, if you will. He manufactures them in some supernatural and spiritual way and fits it in to his purpose. What was tragedy becomes testimony. What was painful becomes purpose in the potter's hand. What was terrible loss and the grieving areas of your life, they're now transferred to a place of spiritual reflection. Grace is seen. Mercy is now witnessed. Love is found in the dusty remains. And usually, why? How is that possible? But listen, don't tell Nehemiah that God can't use the fragments. That's how he rebuilt the walls in around Jerusalem. He went back and dug out a lot of the old stones that had been knocked down by the Babylonians 7 decades earlier. My friend, what can God do with a few loaves and fish? The little boy walks up to Andrew and hands him the fragments of his lunch. He feeds thousands that day. So God can take the fragments, the broken places, the cut down places, the deforested areas, if you will, the failures of your life. What are we going to do with them? Do we just discard them? Do we just get rid of them? Do we just set them on fire? Or is it possible that they get transferred to a place of testimony? And now love is discovered in the cluttered leftovers. Peace rises on the dove's wings from the ashes of disaster and self-destruction, because God takes the wood of Lebanon and he builds a testimony in your life. He builds a cause for his kingdom in your life. He causes you to be a light in other people's world when all you had was the dimness and the darkness and the shadows of shame and the loneliness of your own rejection. You couldn't even hardly stand yourself. Some of them I'm talking to, you know what I'm talking about and who I'm talking to. But now you've been given purpose in the kingdom. He has shined you up. You're glittering like gold. You've been brought out of the fire. You've been refined for a purpose in the kingdom of God. So even though the wood was cut down in Lebanon, it built up the house of the Lord in the promised land. What is God wanting to do in your promised land? What is God wanting to rearrange in the spiritual purposes of your life? Because all things work together for the good to them who are the called according to his purpose. Not according to just some celebration, not according to just some religious activity, not according to just something that makes us feel better. He has a divine purpose. And it far exceeds anything that we can even imagine when we begin. That's why we have to trust the author, because he's also the finisher. He's going to finish the script of our lives. He's going to finish the testimony in the journal and in the journey of our walk with God every day in our discipleship. In 1 Kings 17, you have the story of the infamous prophet Elijah, who shows up on the stage and prophesies to the wicked King Ahab that it's not going to rain until I say so. That's it. Folds up his prophet's tent, folds up his briefcase, walks off the scene, and the Lord sends him back out into the wilderness and tells him to go into hiding. And then he tells him to go to a place out in the middle of nowhere, and he sends him to a brook. And so the Bible said in 1 Kings 17 and 5, so he, Elijah, went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. In the Hebrew, it's Kareth, but in the English, it's Cherith. That is before Jordan. And watch what happens. Bible said the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So again, he bursts on the scene, makes a great prophecy, goes back into hiding, back into the wilderness of obscurity. There are no friends. There's no crowd to preach to. There's no daily devotion to give to even just a handful of people. All he's got for company are ravens. Now that's his grub hub, if you will, because they were bringing him food in the morning and in the evening, and God had instructed somehow these ravens to do that. So he's being blessed. But eventually, the Bible says that the brook dried up. And at this point, Elijah had to move on as directed by the Spirit. You see, Cherith means cutting. So you can't remain in a place of cutting forever. Eventually in your character, eventually in your spiritual purpose, eventually in your relationship with God, you have to move on from that mindset. You have to move on from those painful memories. And you know where he was ordered to go? He said he's then sent to a place in Sidon, a place called Zarephath. And here is where he's going to be sustained by a meal prepared at the hands of a widow woman. You know what Zarephath means? It means refinement. So he goes from a place of cutting, Cherith, to a place of refinement, Zarephath. Doesn't that describe the journey of grace? Isn't that the process of promise? It's the way of spiritual growth. My friend, I want to tell you, it won't always be the way of cutting. It won't always be the way of wounds and gashes and the lacerations of the past. Somewhere God is going to lead you in this character journey, in this discipleship emotion, from a place of cutting to a place where he will refine you and there'll be gold. And there's a treasure now in his house because you've been spiritually transferred from your character to a place of brokenness, to a place of bruising, to a place of oppression, to now you're in a place of anointing. You're in a place of purpose. You're in a place of spiritual significance. You're watching God do supernatural things in your prayer. You're watching the demonstration of the Spirit take place out of the broken areas of your life. You are the wood of Lebanon that has been transferred to the promised land. And now there are things that are growing in the presence of the Lord that could have never been accomplished in the world, could have never been achieved with secular means. My friend, there is a spiritual transfer in his house. And I believe that some of you are rediscovering an old altar. You are transferring from a shadow from the cold back to the fire of his presence and passion in prayer. You're learning the powers of that intercession again. It's rekindling, and there's something that is sparking in the Spirit. You're stepping away from the deserts of shame, and you're coming out of the spiritual Cherith's where you've been cut, and you're moving to the altar of Zarephath, a refining in his presence, because there's refinement, there's revival, there is an evoking of your own confidence now. It's not hiding in this vulnerability of shame and what if they find out. Oh, no, now it's I'm going to let them find out what Jesus did for me. I'm going to let them find out how he brought me out of the land of the fatherless and how he delivered me from the incinerating fires of shame where I was burning up in guilt, and he gave me a spiritual nobility, and he gave me a purpose to live, and he manifested his love and his grace in me. It's a new initiative with inspiration and hope, because I'm speaking to somebody that emotionally you've moved on from the brook Cherith and you've moved into a place of refinement. There is something being developed. There is something being discovered. You may not have all the details yet, but you can see the tip of the iceberg. You can see a little bit, a hint of it, a glimpse of it. It's there. And you just have to keep letting the master artist paint the scene, because you're a masterpiece in his hands. And he's going to make you an honorable vessel as the potter takes the clay off the wheel. And he's going to give you a countenance of joy to replace the sad expressions of disappointment. From here to there, just a few steps away, just a few decisions from being different, just a few more prayers from rekindling an old flame, because you've decided, I'm not going to stay at Cherith, and I'm not just going to be a cut down disappointment in Lebanon. I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to the house of God this weekend. I'm going to the house of God to pray. I'm going to the house of the Lord to celebrate and to worship the name of the Lord, because there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And out of that experience, we're going to go and we're going to try to expose others to what we have discovered in the revelations of his mercy and grace. And my friend, you can cherish Cherith as long as you don't turn it into a place that you can't leave, emotionally speaking, and speaking of the development of your character. You can't stay in this place of anger. You can't stay in this place of resentment. You can't let the bitterness eat you up. You can't be consumed with vindictiveness toward and by someone and what they did in the past, and that until you see them serve out a sentence similar to the pain that you've endured, you're not going to be able to let it go. My friend, it's got to be a place that you have to leave. And here's something you have to remember. If you look at that text in 1 Kings 17, the Lord commanded Elijah not just to go dwell there at Cherith. It wasn't just a religious setup. It wasn't just a place of memorial. He told him to go there and drink from the brook, not just camp there. There was something there that would quench his thirst. But as soon as the brook dried up, it was just a place of memorial. There was no flow. He couldn't drink from it any longer. And my friend, I'm telling you that the pain in your life is a spiritual brook if you'll let it be. And God will let you drink from that brook, and it will refresh you. It will empower you. But when you can't gain spiritual drink from the cuts in your life, it's time to move on. It's time to move on from the memory, so that God can bless you in his house with a fresh well. Don't stay in that emotion too long. God wants to give you a new source of strength and spiritual understanding. So don't stay in the cutting place of memory. Get back to an altar where you get a fresh word and you stand in a divine manifestation. Not bad memories, but in His presence. And you feel the touch of the Master's hand. And you know what you've been through. You know what you have endured. And sometimes there are things it's difficult to let go of. It's easier said than done. But you also know, many of you, what I'm talking about, that when you let God move you in this character development, move you on this discipleship journey, move you in this spiritual discoveries of a relationship with Him, that you truly are in a place that He promised in the New Testament. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So my friend, there are places that you're wanting to get access to that maybe you feel like there's too much blockage. Maybe blame is in the way. Maybe bitterness is in the way. Maybe something is obstructing your progress, hindering you from getting to that next place. Well, maybe it's a Cherith in your life, and it's a brook that's dried up, and God's been trying to get you to move on emotionally and spiritually from that. And there is encouragement in your spiritual Zarephath where God's going to refine, and that door's going to swing wide open, and you're going to step in to a new discovery and relationship and understanding dominion and power of how God can use you at Landmark Tabernacle, use you in your family, use you among your coworkers, use you with strangers on the street to testify to them and to be a drawing magnetic personality, not because it's somebody you're trying to be, but because you have a burning testimony in you. Numbers 13 and 23 describes it when the spies were sent out by Moses for the reconnaissance. They were sent out there to spy the land, to investigate, to see what everything was like. They walked the hills, they walked the valleys, they studied the cities. And then they came to a place not far from Hebron known as Eshcol. And they came to the brook of Eshcol. And the Bible says in Numbers 13 and 23 that they cut down from thence. Cut down. Think about that. A branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the Bible said the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. So there's that cutting again. But I want you to look at the encouraging word in that context. The spies sent, they're in the promised land. They've been searching around, and then all of a sudden, they come to this place where they find vineyards upon vineyards of luscious grapes. I mean, they're tasty, they're desirable, they're satisfying, and they cut down a cluster of them. Now, in this context, something that was cut down was a place that they would eventually go back to because it was a taste of the promise. It was a glimpse of future vineyards that they would someday enjoy, grapes of grace and fruit of divine favor, my friend. So I feel like there's somebody that needs to hear this in the Holy Ghost today, that you can get back to the vineyards of hope, that you can get back to the cause that you feel like you've lost, that the cluster was cut down, but that cluster cut down was to reveal a future cause, and eventually the transfer of faith and fruitfulness will be in a place that you've already been. Think about it. Eventually, they're going to get back there. We know about the 40 years. But eventually, Israel is going to get back to this place of Eshcol. They're going to get back to this, which is in close vicinity or proximity to Hebron, which wasn't that many miles from what would be future Jerusalem. They would literally come full circle. And maybe things in you that were cut down are giving you a taste of where God is taking you, where He wants you to be a witness, where He wants you to grow in greater faith, where He wants you to dwell in peace and prosperity, a place in relationship with Him, not just a distant memory of what it used to be like, but you're in a spiritual Eshcol. You remember the cluster of grapes, the old experiences, the old prayer meetings, where you got intoxicated by the Spirit, where maybe you were slain in the presence of the Lord and somebody had to pick you up out of that altar area in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.